Two thumbs up.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. The week begins with a couple of glimmers. We learned this morning a private sector economic forecast rose last month more than expected. This is the Conference Board, and it tracks building permits and stock prices and jobless claims and such. A Conference Board economist says signs point toward a, quote, slow recovery this autumn. Similar words from the National Association for Business Economics. One of their experts, Sean Dubravac, says he's not seeing companies burdened with a bunch of unsold products.
Unlike previous downturns, companies responded very quickly. They cut their inventory levels early in the correction, and so there's not a significant amount of inventory.
This morning, Halliburton and Hasbro reported better than expected earnings. Microsoft reports profits on Thursday, and analysts are not sure what to expect there. In a recent survey, most businesses said they don't plan to upgrade right away to the next version of Windows when it comes out this fall. Here's more on the Microsoft outlook from senior business correspondent Bob Moon.
New versions of Windows typically boost Microsoft's stock price. It's also won some points with ad experts for its response to those cheeky I'm a Mac ads from rival Apple.
Let's go see the Macs. They're kind of popular at this age.
Yes. Oh, these are way more money, dude.
They agree. It's a PC.
But while Microsoft has been trying to spruce up its image, it may have taken its eyes off another key market, mobile operating systems. They're used in compact netbooks and cell phones run by software from competitors such as Google and Apple.
Yep. There's an app for just about anything, only on the iPhone.
At Argus Research, analyst Jackson Turner says bit by bit, Microsoft's been losing operating system market share, and that trend is likely to continue.
Users are getting comfortable with fairly simple operating systems, and I believe that's going to translate into a broader acceptance of operating systems other than Windows.
So much so, Turner contends that he just downgraded Microsoft shares from buy to sell. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. The S&P 500 is up 0.1%. The NASDAQ and the Dow are up 0.2%. So the Dow has gained 17 points now. It's at 8,761. By the way, Goldman Sachs raised its target for the S&P 500, now predicting the index will end the year at 1,060, which is almost 13% higher than it is now. World stocks were up even more. Asian markets up 1% to 3%, and European stocks gained about 1%. So that's how they are so far this morning anyway. The British economy could suffer significantly from swine flu. That's according to an influential report out this morning, and we get more on that from London and reporter Stephen Beard.
The report from Ernst & Young says that with the additional effect of swine flu, Britain's GDP could fall by 7.5% this year. The forecast is based on the British government's own predictions. The Health Ministry reckons there'll be 100,000 new cases of swine flu a day by next month. In time, half the population could be infected. So far, the virus has been relatively mild. Mortality rates are expected to be low. But Peter Spencer of the Ernst & Young team, speaking on British TV, said the economic consequences could be dire.
Obviously, people will be taking time off work. They will also be avoiding crowded places. So put those two effects together and you've got a whole range of industries which will see output and demand knocked back.
The World Health Organization says swine flu is spreading around the globe with unprecedented speed. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
In other health news this morning, the company Human Genome Sciences reports its experimental lupus drug, Benlysta, succeeded in a late-stage clinical trial. The company's stock price is up about 200%.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thriven Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thriven.com.
You know IKEA for popular and affordable furniture and some assembly required and Swedish meatballs, but IKEA also has a play area called Smallland where you can leave your little ones for a little bit while you shop. Well, reporter Ashley Milne-Tite says it's becoming quite popular as essentially a free babysitting service.
IKEA says some of its stores are taking in 10 to 15% more children at Smarland this year. One of those stores is in Brooklyn. Monica Willis is a regular there. She says childcare is expensive, but IKEA makes it easy to deposit her two kids for an hour or so of play without having to pay $15 to $20.
It's a really, really comfortable place to be, you know, and it's safe. The kids love it. There's so much to do in the small land ball pit. You can't really go anywhere. It's like an indoor play space and it's free.
It's also supervised. The number of staff members goes up along with the number of kids they have to watch. Willis's 7-year-old daughter Polly loves it.
You can either play in like a ball pit or this giant shoe, or you can watch a movie.
But while Polly and her brother are plunging into a sea of plastic balls or parked in front of a DVD, their mother's often slumped in a chair just out of sight, reading, or making some phone calls free of interruptions.
Do you ever use it as an opportunity to actually shop at IKEA?
With the kids, no. Usually we might buy a few small things while we put them in there, but actually mostly we just go to hang out.
IKEA says if a parent chooses to skip the store's aisles, that's fine. The company says it's glad to introduce people to the IKEA experience. Patricia Powell is a retail consultant. Sitting in the cafeteria at the Brooklyn store, she says IKEA is doing well while other home stores suffer, and it's partly because it offers cheap food and free childcare.
Every retailer now is desperate to provide their customers for a reason to walk in the door and spend money. And IKEA has done exactly that with a relatively little amount of money and investment.
Powell says other retailers with space could benefit by having drop-off play areas.
Especially someone like Target, who is really struggling. I think this kind of service is a great way for Target to kind of increase their value to the kind of customer that they want to reach.
Of course, the kind of customer most stores want to reach is one who stays on the premises, even if they don't buy anything. Monica Willis says she knows one parent who parks her child at Smarland, then sneaks off to shop at a nearby supermarket. In Brooklyn, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Very clever. And what about you? What are you coming up with to save a dollar? Tell us your story at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. The Dow is up 21 points at 8,764. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.